Amen to that. All right, now let's see where we're going from here. We talked about spiritual warfare, and we've gotten over into this area that we're talking about the weapons of our warfare. So I'm going to start reading here, starting at verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in that evil day. And having done all to stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, having the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the enemy. Underline that particular verse right there, if you will, to highlight it. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. Underline sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Underline word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Now, it's interesting how we got down to this fact that, one, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And one of the things we learned about faith is faith always shifts the battle. So whatever you're up against, when faith comes, it's shifted out of your hands into God's hands. And that's why it calls for you to rest. Verse 11 says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now, if you look at that same verse in the Amplified, put it up there, please. And in the Amplified, it says just a little bit different. It says, put on the whole armor, the armor of a heavy armed soldier, which God supplies, that you may be able successfully to stand up against all the strategies and deceits of the devil. Now, it says in that verse, heavy armed soldier, which God supplies. See, God will supply it. And so tonight, we want to go all the way down here and say in verse 16, pardon me, above all, take the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Okay? So this sword of the Spirit is the word of God. And by the way, it is an offensive weapon. Remember this man came into church and he's breathing hard, said, and to the deacons and people, they said, what's wrong with you? He said, I got the devil on the run. He said, praise God. He said, only one problem, he's chasing me. Well, he's not supposed to chase you with a sword in your hand. And my point to you is you supposed to have him on the end of that sword at all times. All right? And that is all it takes. See? Now, I want to go through this because there are weapons that we use. And one of the weapons is the word of God. Another weapon is the name of Jesus. Another weapon is the blood of Jesus. Now, all these are weapons that you can use. And prayer is a platform by which it launches that word. That's one of the platforms that you use. You can use confession, some other things. All right. So let's just look at this now. So we're talking about the weapons of our warfare, and we're talking about the word of God tonight, because that's where we want to go. Now, let's go to Proverbs chapter 4, please. I'm going to whip through these fairly quickly because I want to cover quite a bit of area before we leave. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20. My son, attend to my words. My son, attend to my words, incline thine ears to my sayings, and let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, For they are life to them that those that find them, and they are health or medicine to all their flesh. Next verse. Keep thine heart with all what? Diligence. For out of it are the what? Issues of life. So guard your heart. Let's go over to Proverbs chapter 23, please. Proverbs chapter 23, look at verse 7. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. In other words, whatever you think is where you're going to end up. Whatever you think, watch this, is what you will become. See, and you know yourself, you look on television, and all it's showing now is medications, seemingly. I mean, I've never seen so much advertisement about medication, I think, in my life. And they start going down the list of things. Well, you have this, and you have this. Well, if you don't have that, you have this. And you ever had chicken pox, you got shingles. You know, really, you know and I know. Am I right about it? You got to guard your heart. And look what it says in Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 32. If thou hast done foolishly in lifting up thyself, if thou hast thought evil, put your hand over your mouth. Why? Because you're designed to think and speak what you think or what you believe. As a matter of fact, the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, what happens? Your mouth is going to speak. So this, the way you are designed, that you were not designed to think thoughts that were not of God, that God planned for you to think his thoughts. And also, you were not designed to speak anything that you didn't want to come to pass. And so what the enemy has done is, because of the mentality now, because of the fall, mankind is saying all kinds of things that he or she never wants to come to pass. But what I'm here to do is get you back to the Word. And let you see the power of the Word, because the enemy now, because his power has been stripped, he works on some level called suggestion. And that level. Now, what he wants is the mind. And I want to say something about that. That, I know I wrote it in this just a minute. I want to say that my goodness, just hold on just a minute. My goodness, with word. Okay, here it is. The key to Satan's defeat is to keep him out of your mind. The key to Satan's defeat is to keep him out of your mind. Now, remember, we're talking about going in and possessing the giants. We're going in, we're facing the giants now, okay? And in facing these giants, we got to understand that they're coming with everything. But Satan knows that he's got to get into your mind first. Now, I want to talk about this a little bit, because this is really powerful teaching here tonight. Let's look at Philippians, please. Philippians and chapter 4. Over in Philippians chapter 4, he says, starting at verse 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your what? Your hearts and minds through what? Christ Jesus. He's not done. Finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are what? True. Whatsoever things are honest. Whatsoever things are just. whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, and whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, what do you do? Think on these things. So right there, he's telling you to manage your mind. Because the enemy will try to get you to think something different. I mean, I can be preaching up here, and I'll look at somebody, and they'll say, I wonder what he knows about me. And I'm not even thinking about you. As a matter of fact, let me tell you how powerful this is. Let me tell you how powerful this is. Many times, let's go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Many times when I am preaching, I don't see you. I can look you right in your face. Folks, I'm not talking about from up here. I'm talking about from down there standing looking at you. It's almost like I got to come down to another level to recognize you. And I don't want myself to come down a lot of times. So I just stay up there. And then I get a call and say, Pastor, you know, didn't you see me in service? I said, no. Pastor, you look right at me. Why? Because I wasn't looking with these eyes. See? And so this is how you've got to manage your mind. Many times when I come up here, the enemy, you know, he doesn't do this anymore much, but he would try to talk to me. But sometimes when I preach a certain sermon, I'm on the way home and he'll start talking to me. Well, you know, you shouldn't have preached that. Well, you know, they're not coming back next time. And I mean, just you name it. And I'm only saying that. Well, look, put some right there at 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Let's go over to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. You got to manage your mind. Somebody says, your boss wants to see you. Well, what's going through your mind? See, if what you're just thinking about is not good, perfect, true, honest, you've just been interrupted by the devil. The devil is trying to manage your mind for you. Look what he says in Matthew's Gospel, in chapter 1. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 4, in verse 1. Then Jesus was led up of the Spirit into a wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by what? Bread alone, but by what? Every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And that scripture is in Deuteronomy. Every time he quoted an Old Testament scripture. Now understand, that suggestion is not something light. This was 40 days of fasting, and he was hungered, meaning that his body now was starting to consume itself because it needed some nourishment. See? And what happened? The devil came to him at that time. See? And once he came to him at that time, check it out, he then suggested him to turn a stone into bread. Question. Could he have done that? Yes. See, don't say, wait a minute, that was impossible anyway. No, it wasn't impossible. It was not impossible. That's the power Adam had before the fall. But he wasn't going to turn it into bread at the command of an evil spirit. You got what I'm saying? And so what he did now is he's going to defend himself. He's going to put Satan on that sword. Yeah. Now, the sword that he's talking about is of the spirit, not the sword of the mind. Now, what do I mean by that? I mean, you need to take the word and get it down where? In your heart. Now, once you get it down in your heart and you release it, now it's got Holy Ghost power. And that's with anything. But whether you're dealing with healing, whether you're dealing with deliverance, whether you're dealing with anything. And you see in the book of Acts, over there in Acts chapter 19, the sons of Sceva, these preacher's kids, they said, I command you to come out of him by the name of Jesus who Paul preaches. And the evil spirit jumped on him and took all his thick clothes off and left them naked running down the street. That was the first streaking I saw in the Bible. But what were they trying to do? They were trying to get something they had in their head and not in their heart. It is written. Now, each time Satan came to him, what did he come up with? It is written. Turn to James chapter 4. I'm coming over to 2 Corinthians, James chapter 4. Over in James chapter 4, glory to God. He says in verse 7, he says, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he might flee from you. See, you shout me down, didn't you? He what? He will flee. I'm talking about a devil that's putting homosexual thoughts in your mind. That's not God's thoughts. Talking about a devil who's telling you you're going to go broke. And I'm telling you, you got to resist him. What are you going to resist him with? The word of God. Look at 1 Peter chapter 5. Over in 1 Peter chapter 5, look what it says here. And starting at verse 6, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. What do you think the mighty hand of God can be substituted for? The word of God. That's the only mighty hand I know. And look here, mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you, how? In due time. See? Because God wants to lift you up. Casting all, glory to God, underline all your care upon him, for he's caring for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is as a roaring lion, walking about, seeking whom he may devour. He didn't say he was a lion. What did he say? As a lion. In the book of Psalms, it says all his teeth are out. So he's going to try to gum you to death. Are we still here? Verse 9. Whom resists steadfast, how? In the what? Faith. How does faith come? And hearing by what? The word of God. See, when Jesus released this, he released it in faith. It is written. Now, if the devil will tempt Jesus, will he tempt you? He'll tempt you every time you start moving ahead, every time you start trying to do something different, every time you start acting on the word of God, every time you start believing God for healing, every time you start thinking about, hey, I want to get married, thinking about so forth, can I have kids, so forth, I'm expecting my child in 2 months. Oh, I hope my child is born healthy. The devil comes and tempts you. Every area. But you're going to resist it. Yes. Notice what it says. First, draw nigh to God. That means submit yourself to God's word. Now resist the devil and what he's going to do. He's going to flee from you. He's going to flee from you. Look what he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. We've read it before, but let's read it again. All right, look what he says in verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not what? War after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Put it up there in the Amplified, please. Okay. For though we live in the flesh, we are not carrying on our warfare according to the flesh and using mere human weapons. For the weapons of our warfare are not physical weapons of flesh and blood, but they are mighty before God for the overthrow and the destruction of strongholds. For inasmuch as we refute arguments and theories and reasonings and every proud and lofty thing that sets itself up against the what? True knowledge of God, and we lead every thought and purpose away captive into the obedience of Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. Look what it says in Matthew chapter 6. In Matthew's Gospel chapter 6, watch how he phrases this. All right, you with me? He says this. Verse 31. Therefore, take no thought, saying. You got what I'm saying?
Yes.
See, here comes a thought, and you can decide to take it, or you can decide to let it pass on by. Was that friend of mine talking about? He had the two little grandkids in the back seat of the car, and he kept saying, "No, one of them, no, no, no." And pretty soon, the grandmother said, "What, Max? What are you doing?" He said, "The devil is trying to tell me to take my shoe off and hit her in the head with my shoe, but I tell him no." See, you can take that. You can take that, or you can let it go. Just say no, you know, in Jesus' name. All right, let's look at some examples here. Let's go over to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. Now, I told you the devil didn't want you to come in here tonight, because we're keeping that foundation rich inside of you. He says, verse 1, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made." And I think that's why the devil used it. "And he said unto the woman, Yea, has God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But of the tree, of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die." Now, did God put touch it on there? He didn't even say that. She said that. Now, right there, she's adding to what God said. "But you shall not eat of it. And the serpent said to the woman, You shall not surely die." Here comes doubt. "For God does know that in the day you eat thereof, your eyes will be open, shall be open, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." And when the woman saw, here comes reasoning, that the tree, you see, the longer you reason, the further you go from faith. The longer you reason with it, saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Now, he knew better. That's what the scripture says. But he refused to enforce the authority that he had in his house. See, he went along with the program. Now, was Satan suggesting something to Eve? Yeah, you know, she was telling don't cool it down too much because I see him putting your jacket on again. So just kind of play it back and forth, you know what I mean? Just play it by ear. Okay, but anyway. So I'm trying to keep y'all kind of hearing me, you know what I'm trying? I'm trying to keep you so you can receive. Now notice what she did. She interpreted that subtle statement from Satan, as saying this: God left something out. He didn't give you everything. See? Now I'm distrusting God. I don't even like speakers to come here and do this and say this. Oh, come on now, you got to hear me. See, I need about 5 more days with you all. Well, why don't you give it to me today? Just give it to me today. You don't need 5 more days. See, the idea, I want to leave you whole. I want to leave you that what I give you, I don't need to give you anymore. What I'm giving you right now, if you do that, you're going to go over and take some of this. It's a problem. But people are trying to make room for money and everything else. And I'm not talking about people. I'm just saying that's why I watch it. I want you to come deliver a message and get out of here. Y'all follow what I'm saying? Because it always make you think that you're lacking something. See, you can deliver yourself. You can get the Word of God and deliver yourself. You take that Word of God, because the Word of God is Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. I can take the Word of God and whip it on Satan. He's in my body. Whip it on him, 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 and he'll have to let it go. That's my way of resisting the devil. You get pain in your body and you get that word. Look what it says. It said in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20, he said, my son, attend to my word, incline thine ears to my saying, let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thy heart, for they are life to those that find them, and they are health to all their flesh. That word health translates directly medicine. So you can take the medicine of the Word of God and get you healed. Watch this, without a diagnosis as to what you got. See, people are trying to make you think you cannot heal yourself. With you and the Holy Ghost and Jesus, you can get healing yourself. I'm trying to get you independent of folk praying for you. I'm not trying to get you to depend on people. We have ministers up here because people need some help because they're at a place where they need help in getting delivered. But God, at some point in time, is going to expect you to grow up and you now being delivering other folk instead of always needing deliverance yourself. He tried to make her think that she was missing something. And that is manipulation. When God made you, he broke the mold. Watch this. And he made you a genius. It's in you. Whether you express it or not, it is in you. Because God has no spiritual defects. And I'm trying to set up the environment so that you can receive the word and be healed. That's all many, many times medicines do for you. Medicines themselves don't heal you. What they do is set up the environment so that the body can heal itself. Your body is fearfully and wonderfully made. And you set up the right environment, that thing will heal itself. I am really watchful of people. Sometimes, and not intending to do it, but keeping God's people enslaved. I'm not trying to keep you here so you can give me some money. I'm trying to get you healed. And when you get healed enough, you'll break me off. Y'all know what that means? I'm just saying, you so happy you got healed, pop. Hey, what you need, Dad? Boom. Need an airplane, got it, boom. Is that all right if we say that? All right, let's keep rolling here. Praise God. All right, let's look at a couple more things now. So, the Word of God. Let's look at some of the characteristics of the Word of God. Let's go to Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 12. You know the scripture very well. All right, Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 12. Look what it says. And said the Lord unto me, thou hast well seen, for I will hasten my word to perform it. Now, what am I talking about there? The Word of God is full of integrity. It is full of integrity. Whatever the Word says, it will deliver. Whatever it says, it will deliver. Here's another scripture for that particular statement. Isaiah 55 and verse 10 and 11. Here's what it says. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and watereth the earth, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. And what we use is Micah chapter 5, verse 2. Just put it up there on the board. You don't need to turn to it. Just put it down in your notes. Micah chapter 5 and verse 2. And what we showed you is that there was a prophetic word that came forth from Micah. Micah was a prophet. And he said, but thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall come forth unto me this is to be ruler in Israel, whose going forth have been from old and from everlasting. Now, what he's talking about, baby Jesus. And we looked at Luke chapter 2 and verse 1, and we looked at hundreds of years after that, how this prophetic saying came to pass. And it came to pass on the days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. Keep going. And all went to be taxed, everyone to his own city. And Joseph also went from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth unto Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house of the lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. So you know and I know when he got to Bethlehem, what happened? The child was born. Am I right about it? But how did they get to Bethlehem? Don't think they just coincidentally went back because the taxes had to be paid and so forth. No, God is head over the heathen. So he can make the heathen do whatever he wants. And sometimes what God does is he does it in a way that Satan can't detect it. I'm sure God hid me. Because before I got saved, I was still crazy. I mean, when I said that, I mean, I was foolish. I when I was a little boy, I was really out there. And mama, I mean, they used to spank me, but that didn't do any good. But my point to you is that God hid me. You know, I was nobody. When I say now in Tuskegee, I'm a preacher, they say, who? A what? No. And my point to you is, look what God did with me. And if he did it with me, he can do it with you. But sometimes he hides us until an appointed time and then calls us. Say amen to that. So the word has integrity. Somebody prayed for me. It might have been my great-grandmother. But when they prayed for me and God heard that prayer, he had to deliver. And so whichever way God wanted to deliver. Let's go to another one. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1 through 3. All right. And look what he says here. He says, Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God what? Created the heavens and the earth. Keep going. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And what happened? There was light. All right. Where did light come from? Came from God. Came from what? The Word. The Genesis, John chapter 1 and verse 1 says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was what? With God, and the Word was God. Keep going. And the same was in the beginning, what? With God. Keep going. And all things were made by Him. And Him who? Him who? God. God who? The Word. And without Him was not anything made that was made. Keep going. And in Him was life. Keep going. And the life was the light of men. Gets going to verse 14, same chapter. And he says this, and the Word was made flesh. Let me give you another word. It took upon itself flesh. The whatever the Word says, it can create. Glory to God in heaven. Man, if you get that, God can create new uteruses. God can create new joints. Come on, the Word of God can create. Come on. Now, why isn't it doing that? Because it hadn't been taught. You can't have faith for something that hadn't been taught. But we're going to teach it up in here. You can get that Word and begin to decree that Word, and something will start forming. Say amen to that, because the Word will take upon itself flesh. Boy, that's powerful stuff right there. Say amen. So I know we have natural doctors, but we got another doctor. We got one that never lost a case. He's the great physician, the great I am, the Elohim, the Almighty God. Look at Ezekiel chapter 37, please, in verse 1. I'm still waiting on Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 1. And the hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was what? Full of bones. And caused me to pass by them round about, and behold, there was very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. That means they've been there a while. And he said to me, son of man, can these bones live? I said, oh Lord, you know. Glory to God. And he said to me, prophesy. Glory to God. Upon these bones, and say unto them, oh, you dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall what? Live. And I will lay sinew upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. Keep going. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, and the bone to his bones, and when I beheld the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Keep going. And said he unto me, prophesy to the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say unto the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, and they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Say amen. And I'm telling you, you can prophesy over your finances. Come on, you can prophesy over your kids. You can prophesy over that job. You can prophesy. I'm talking about, we are God's prophetic voice here in this earth. Say something, praise God. We used to sing that song down there when I was a little boy in that Baptist church, and I didn't know what they were singing. The neck bone connected to the hip bone or whatever, the backbone. And I'm trying to figure out, what are they talking about? I'm not sure they had a revelation of this, but you got a revelation of it. You speak to that wallet, put it on the table. Say, wallet, I'm talking to you. Say amen. Say, in Jesus' name, I command you to fill up. Put those bills on that table. Bills, I'm talking to you. In the name of Jesus, be paid off. Do something that your mind can't connect with. Don't try to reason how God's going to do it. You just dip the water out and take it to the governor of the feast and let God do his thing. Glory to God. That's good preaching here. So what else is the word of God? The word of God is seed. Luke chapter 8 and verse 11. I won't go to it. What else is the word of God? The word of God carries God's spirit. John 6:63. My words, they are what? Spirit. And they are life. What is the word of God? Word of God also is power. And the Bible says that John chapter 1 and 1 through 5 and verse 12. As many as received him, to them gave he what? Power. The word of God carries wisdom. Say amen to that. Amen. And the word of God carries strength. Glory to God. All right, let's just finish up with this. So, Eve was seduced. Adam knew better, but Eve was deceived. And also, why? Because she let Satan get into her mind. And you can't do that. And I'm telling you, I'm preaching to the choir now, and I know it, but I'm also preaching to myself. Because that enemy trapped me one time. He won't do that again. But let's look at Job. Job chapter 1, please. Job chapter 1. That's not Job now. You might need one. We can pray for you after, but that's Job right there. Okay? Now here's Job. And look at verse 4. Let's start there. And his sons went in and feasted in their houses, everyone his day. And sent and called for the three sisters to eat and to drink with them. They're having a party now. And it was so, when the days of feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them, and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them. All, for Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job continually. Now, can I tell you my interpretation of what I think happened here? I think his kids were disgracing him. I think they were doing things that people would look at him and say, Lord, have mercy. And that this thing worked its way into his mind. Because I think enemy likes you to get discouraged. Watch this. He likes to try to discredit your name. The Bible talks in Proverbs about a good name. that is worth more than money. And so here is the situation that your kids are not acting quite right. But don't let the devil get in your mind. Because God, if you just maintain, he'll fix anything that's broke. And so the next thing that happened here, if you come over here to Job chapter 3, you'll see, you know the devil attacked him. And look at Job chapter 3 and verse 25. For the thing which I greatly feared has come unto me, and that which I was afraid of has come to me. He was fearing now that he's going to lose all his property. He's going to lose his business. He's going to lose his reputation. Everything. And notice what fear did. It brought exactly what he was fearing. And Job chapter 6 and verse 23, he says, oh, deliver me from the enemy's hand and redeem me from the hand of the mighty. Teach me and I will hold my tongue and cause me to understand where I've erred. I remember when I was in military, and we were over in Southeast Asia, over in Vietnam. And I remember we'd come back from a mission. And I came back to the mission, they usually sent us out as a flight of four. So we just parked the airplane. I'm getting out of the airplane, and we fill out something called a 781, which is a form with any kind of things that went wrong in the airplane. And so I was filling it out, and saw an ambulance come over there to one of the airplanes, which was not in our flight, in another flight. And I said, what's going on over there? It said, so-and-so lost his mind. Now, this is one of the pilots. I said, what do you mean lost his mind? Now, he's from the Air Force Academy. And he was an academy grad, gone through pilot training, but now he's over there getting shot at. But somehow, he started crying for his mama. And they had to help him out of the airplane and everything. Just broke. Now, where do you think the enemy got into? He got into his mind. He got into his mind. In the middle of combat, a combat-trained troop broke down and started calling for his mama. And they had to take him out. So I'm just saying, you can't let down mentally for a minute. You can't let down. If you're going in there to get your stuff from those giants, don't let down for a minute. It's all right to come and feel people who are crying and at funerals this, and they're going through some hard times that and so forth. The Bible talks about, what it say, cry with those that cry or something like that, whatever have you. But don't break down up here. You remember the Matrix? You were trying to break through up in the man's mind. Y'all didn't see that. That's okay. All right. But just keep your mind. Keep your heart. Because God promised you deliverance. Say amen to that. All right, let's just show you a couple of people that broke down. Let's go to Job chapter 37. Go to one more and we'll end. Praise God. Y'all getting something out of this tonight? See, I like to just tell you about my experiences, you know. Because, you know, I understand Abraham, but I need BW. I need something that happened to me right here. Need somebody alive. Okay, y'all with me?
Yeah.
All right, this is Genesis now, in Genesis chapter 37. Okay, so here's Joseph, and here's his brothers. They took him out. Now they get jealous and envious of him. He's telling his dream, a big dreamer, and so forth. And what had happened? Look at verse 31. Let's start right there. All right? So he had a coat of many colors that his father had given him. And they took Joseph's coat and killed the kid of goats, and dipped the coat in the blood. And they sent the coat of many colors, and they brought it to their father and said, this have we found. Know now whether it be thy son's coat or no. And he knew it and said, it is my son's coat. An evil beast has devoured him. Now that is against the covenant. That covenant guarantees you protection for you and your kids. Glory to God. And has devoured him. Joseph is without doubt rent in pieces. And Joseph rent his clothes, put sackcloth on his loins, and mourned for his son many days. Check it out. And his sons and all his daughters rose up to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted. And he said, for I will go down to the grave unto my son mourning. Thus his father wept for him. So he refused to pull out of it. No, Satan had deceived him and got him to speak something about his son that wasn't true. Watch this. Thank God his son had his own faith. Are y'all with me here? And I'm just saying that enemy will try to bring you evidence that you got this. But what are you going to say? The God that I serve. Come on now, folks. Let me give you one more. Praise God. These are all good, you know. I said it's all good. Let's go to Hezekiah, 2 Kings, chapter 18. Glory to God. This is all good. See, when I study this, I get stronger. Every time you hear it, you get stronger. And I want to make you mentally strong. Nothing can break you down. God's people got to be stronger than that. Man. Break down and start cussing. And you gotta be strong. Man. You gotta know. No, I know what it looks like. I know the evidence is there. But I'm saying, what did God say? See, let me tell you what this is. Can I show you what this is? Up here is truth. It's the highest realm of reality, right there. Under here is evidence of something natural. Now, that natural may not agree with truth. But truth is so powerful, it can overlay what is natural and obliterate it. Man, say amen to that. That's the word. That's what ladies say. That's the word. All right. Now, let's just do this very quickly. 2 Kings chapter 18. And look at now, notice what I'm talking about. Here's what my statement was. The key to Satan's defeat is to keep him out of your what? Your mind. That's the key to his defeat. He's already defeated, so he's trying to impress you like he's not. And you gotta keep him out of your mind. Okay, 2 Kings 18. So here comes the king of Syria. Syria's still up to something. Here comes king of Syria, and he comes against Hezekiah. Now, he's taken all the other cities around, but that's because they weren't following God. And so he's taken them. Now he's coming to Judah. He's coming to Hezekiah. He's going to take him. So look what he says in verse 3. Now in the 14th year of the king of Hezekiah, did Sennacherib, king of Assyria, come up against all the fenced cities of Judah, and he took them. And Hezekiah, king of Judah, sent to the king of Assyria to Lachish, saying, I have offended. Return from me that which thou puttest on me, I will bear. And the king of Assyria appointed unto Hezekiah, king of Judah, 300 talents of silver and 30 talents of gold. Could I have that verse 14 in the Amplified translation? No, put it in the Good News translation. All right. King Hezekiah sent a message to the king of Assyria at the headquarters of Lachish. I've done wrong. Now, he hadn't done anything wrong. The thing he did wrong was refuse to pay some enemy some bounty for just existing. He refused to pay him anything. And I've done wrong. I admit it. Pull back your army. I'll pay whatever tribute you set. And the king of Assyria demanded tribute from Hezekiah, king of Judah, 11 tons of silver and a ton of gold. Watch this. And Hezekiah turned over all the silver he could find in the temple of God and in the palace treasures. Glory to God. And Hezekiah even took down the doors of the temple of God and the doorposts that he had overlaid with gold and gave them to the king of Assyria. Now, how many of you know the devil will not stop with just your money? He wants you. And I remember when I was in South America, wherever we were, and I had the whole team with me. We take sometimes the missions, the class of our school of ministry, and prepare a mission trip for them. And I took them on a mission trip. Let me see where we were. We were down in the Philippines. We were in the Philippines. So, I think it was the Philippines. And so we were there, and yeah, that's where it was. And so what happened where we were going home, we had been to the south, and now we had come back up to the capital, Manila, and now we were going back home. But something happened, and a monsoon came through, rain, torrential rain, and our airplane was the last airplane that landed at the airport in Manila, and it couldn't taxi up to the airport itself. It had to stay at the runway because the water at the airport was 8 feet high. So we couldn't taxi up there. So we had to sit there, hot, so forth. Pretty soon the water came down enough for them to taxi up. They let the people out. We got out. Then they said the generators in the basement are flooded and we gonna have a complete blackout, so we want everybody out on the streets. Babies, everybody. It's raining. We all out there in the street, you know, in front of the airport, all these people. So now they're asking me, Pastor, what are we going to do? I wanted to say, I don't know. But that wasn't good leadership. So I said, now I got all these people. Because it was just me, I'd have got a cab. Take me back. But we're supposed to be going straight through. See, we're going back to the United States. So what happened? I went over and prayed. I'm praying hard too. God, you got to answer this prayer. What do we do? He said, go back to the, get them a room tonight at the hotel. I didn't even know what hotel. So somebody told us about a hotel. We got everybody in a bus, old raggedy bus. And it took us back to the hotel. Now, I'm talking about my mind now, because I'm saying, Lord, if I didn't have all these people, I could just move in and out and so forth. But I got all these people with me. What do I do? So we got to the hotel. It looked like heaven. I said, man, I haven't seen a hotel this nice in the United States. So I got in that bed. I said, I need to lay here a couple of days and just forget it all. But now they're asking me, Pastor, what time are we going to get up? Because we still got to catch this flight out. And if we miss that flight, then we might be stuck there for a couple of days. You know, I'm telling you, this thing was on me like I don't know what. So something said, get up at 6 o'clock, get everybody and go down there and use your faith that they're going to open up the airport and you're going to get out of here. I got everybody up. I said, Lord, let this work. Please let this work. I said, y'all confess with me. Let's confess. And we confessed to where we got there. As soon as we got there, boom, they opened up the airport. As soon as they opened up the airport, boom, we got in line, boom. I got on that 747 and I had my eyes, I said, Lord Jesus, I'm wringing wet and everything. I didn't care. The flight attendant said, where have you been? I told her, to hell and back. I'm telling you, this is good. Give the Lord a praise. I'm just saying, keep the enemy out of your mind. Praise God. All right. If you're here, God has spoken to your heart about being born again. Let me pray for you right now. Anybody here who does not have Jesus, because you can't really stand up against those giants without him. So let me pray for you right now. Anyone who needs to get saved, I want to pray for you. Whoever it is, take a step of faith. Come on up here and let me pray for you.